all day, but it's been pressing on my heart, so I'm just going to say it. I need everybody in this room just to understand one thing. I didn't get saved for anybody in this room. I don't do what I do for anybody in this room. I know there's a lot of people that walk around thinking that I do this for something special, and I don't. I live a Christian life because I'm saved and washed in the blood. Okay, I don't do it because of my pastor. Ask him, you can ask him. It's maybe once, maybe twice a week I talk to him. He's not the one making me get up here. You understand? There's nothing up here driving me but what's in my heart. What's in my heart? When I got saved, it starts to put a drive in my heart. It made things change different. I don't do it because I have a Sunday school class and you guys sit here. I don't do it because Bob's here, my brother's here, anybody. I do it because this is what Jesus would have me to do. I don't do this for a man. Nobody's paying me. When I walk out of here, nobody's handing me a check. I just really feel that I had to say that because I think a lot of people walk around thinking that I'm pressured into this, and I am not. I am not pressured into coming up here, and I am not pressured into being a Christian and walking a Christian life. I do that because that's the new heart that I have in me. That's why I do it. Not for anybody else. I don't dress this way to impress anybody. I don't talk or raise my family to do to get anybody's acceptance. I don't do that. You're my friend. If you're my friend, you're not, you're not. I do this because this is what the Lord put in my heart. This is what I am. This is who I am. If you don't like it, then you take it up with God. He's the one who saved me, and He's the one working in my life. That's all. I mean, that's all there is to it. I mean, I really just didn't. I guess He just wanted me to say that for whatever reason. I did. It's out there. But, you know, my life has been in turmoil, and the last few days I've been trying to fix everything that I destroyed. I mean, I destroyed it. I mean, my Sunday school and Amy, because we do Bible before bed at night. And I got down and I got with my family and I really gave them a message the other night that the Lord put on my heart, because I really started destroying my family. And it took a lot for me to see that. For weeks. For weeks, I mean, I just really asked Amy. I mean, today was, we really just had that kind of meltdown. It wasn't, a throwdown and, you know, throwing stuff in. It was just a little meltdown that had to be taken care of. Why? Because of me. I'm going to show you. The verse, I started last Thursday when Pastor gave his testimony. God blew me up right now. I mean, just blew me up right there. When Pastor said, there's a verse that really touched his heart, that something was going to happen. I mean, right there, God started stirring in my heart. I didn't quite understand it because, I was ignoring it. Sunday morning, I sat down. I had nothing for Sunday school. And by the way, last Wednesday, I really could have preached. I just didn't feel like it because I was in that, that mode in my life. Just telling you the truth. I could have came up here and did that. But I feel like it. I'll tell you what kind of mood I was. I'll tell you what kind of things I started doing with me and my family. It's a horrible, horrible place. I learned a big lesson. I'm going to tell you about it tonight. My Sunday school heard some of it, but I need you guys to turn to Proverbs 27. Proverbs 27. Sunday morning I got up. I had nothing for Sunday school class. Nothing. I mean, just absolutely nothing. I just sat down with the Lord. I said, this is it, Lord. We got to get this right. I mean, things are going wrong. Things aren't right. Proverbs 27, verse 8. As a bird that wandereth from her nest, so is a man that wandereth from his place. That bird, when she wandered from her nest, she left a place of safety, security, comfort. The place she was called to be in, the place she was supposed to be in. When she left, she didn't look back until it was too late. She was caught in the snare and cares of this world. God likens that to a man. God likens that to a man who has wandered from his place. God has set him in a place and called him to be in the place. He has wandered from being a spiritual leader, a husband, a father, a family member, and a friend, and got in the snares and cares of this world. That verse floored me Sunday morning. When I tell you, I sat there and a verse that popped out to me like never before in my life, that verse showed me, this is where you're at, Dale. This is what you're wandering away from where I put you. You're wandering away from the place that I called you to be. You know what? God didn't punch me and beat me and slap me. He was just as kind and gentle as ever with me. And showed me that. God corrected me, but He didn't punish me. There's a difference there. And I don't always get that. When I do something wrong, God, He likes to be pretty hard on me. And I like it, because that's how I have to, it has to have to be, because I'm a knucklehead. But just as gentle, Sunday morning I sat there and the Lord showed me.
Amen.
He sat with me and just showed me, Dale, I'm showing you now. I wasn't listening to all the things, the warnings He was giving me and being tough on me and just trying to wake me up. I wasn't listening to that. So He just sat there in that still small voice and He woke me up. Woke me up. This is where I found myself in the past weeks. God had set me down Sunday morning and showed me right where I was. His Word was clearer to me on that day than any other. God corrects His children sometimes in ways we don't expect. I got corrected but not punished. God was just as gentle as a mother with a newborn baby. It isn't always that way, but that day it was, and I hope soon not to forget it. Being in the place with God that we know is not right for us just doesn't feel right after salvation. But you know, we can get blinded by things. We can put things in our life before God. And that's why I need you guys to turn to Psalm 81. Just next books over. Psalm 81. I mean, it's just not right. I mean, you become physically and mentally and spiritually separated from God. And it's just a horrible, miserable life. And you know, God just tries to show you over and over again, we don't want to listen to that. We want to wander. We want to keep wandering like it's okay. And it's not okay. I mean, it just is not okay. It's a horrible life. And you know what? I look back now and go, gosh, how did my family get here? Oh, you did it. You did it. I tried to show you. He tried to show me many times in the Word what I was doing to my family. I don't beat my family. I'm not doing all that crazy stuff. But you know what? Spiritually depriving my children and my wife and being a dad that I'm supposed to be and taking care of them, that's hurtful to them just as much as somebody abusing them. That hurt them. You know what my son said to me today when I was talking to him? I want to leave. That's what he told me. He wants to leave my house. So okay, let's just pack your stuff and be gone then. You want to leave my house? It's so rough for you. So I just started to give him a little rundown of what it's like to be in boys' homes. What it's like to graduate from there and be homeless and on the streets and be a drug addict and alcoholic and in prison and jails and mental hospital. You know, it kind of changed his attitude a little bit. I said, you don't know what it was like for me to be 9 years old and sitting in the place you are. Look, I said, me and my brother wish we had a home like that at 9 years old. You don't know what it's like to have a hard life. But you know what that's from? Me wandering. I sat down, I told my wife, I looked at her, and she's in tears, because she knows. And I looked at her today, I said, you know what, Amy? I said, I'm the one to blame for this. I'm the one to blame for this. I don't blame anybody. I blame myself for the condition me and my family are in. God forbid if I ever do that to my family again. God take me out, then I'd sit here and put my family through the stuff I put them through. This is serious, man. This is a serious thing. God didn't put me in charge of just some Joe Schmo people. He put me in charge of a family. There's a responsibility for me to take care of that family. And now, I mean, right now I can't financially do that. I will be back at work. You better count your, you can count your ducks or whatever they say. You can count on that. I'll be back at work. But spiritually, as a dad, as a husband, I mean, as somebody who's supposed to be there, I had just been gone. Gone. It hurt my family. Horrible. Our Bible, the prayers, I mean, all that stuff has just been nothing. Dead. But my wife, she said to me this morning, she goes, you know what God showed me? I said, well, honey, she goes, I just been rebellious. I said, that's my fault. Very serious situation we can get ourselves in, people. Just letting you know. And it don't have to be just with married people. You can be a single mom. Get yourself caught up in this stuff. You could be a grandmother and grandpa getting caught up in this stuff. Psalm 81. Oh yeah, Psalm 81, 9 through 12. There shall no strange God be unto thee, in thee. Excuse me. There shall be no strange God be in thee. Neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I was going to let you know for the past few weeks I've had a strange God in my life. And I understand he's talking to Israel, but I'm just going to use this spirit. I'm going to just tell you something. Because anything that you put before God is a strange God to him. He doesn't like it. Anything. Do you know me put my family before God as a strange God before God? He don't like that. I told my wife, I said, my God, hunting is fun. It's a good sport. I mean, it's something, just bring some little extra food in the house and that. You know that was my biggest strange God? Do you know I put hunting before God? I put hunting before my family. Oh, no.
God was not having that.
God was not having that. And I mean, he was just what? No. There's a place for that stuff. There's a place, you know what? God just kept giving me warnings and warnings and warnings. I just didn't want to hear it. Because for a long time, I've always been so addicted to that hunting. And God said, listen, I've moved in now. It can't be the same. It can't be there anymore. I have to be there. You understand? God has to be where that hunting is. I have to look for God like I would for a deer. I have to love God like I would love to go out there and sit in a tree stand for 4, 5, 6 hours. You understand that? I put that strange God before Him. And guess what? My family, myself, everything else just started falling apart. Why? Because I put that strange God before Him. He wasn't having that, people. Let me show you what He did. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. We know Egypt is a picture of the world. God brought me out of this world. God took me. I'm not talking physically out, but He called me to live separate, to live differently. He said, come out from among them. I live differently now. I don't live like the world lives. And I'm not bashing anybody for however your life goes, but I'm just telling you now, I don't live for the world. I don't live to impress anybody in the world, out of the world, saved or unsaved. That's just not how I live my life. I live my life, I try to according to this word and how God would lead me and how God would show me. That is how I live my life. He said, I'm calling you out of Egypt. I am the Lord thy God which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice. And Israel would none of me. Here we go. So I gave them up unto their own hearts, lust. And they walked in their own counsels. How's that? God turned me over to myself the past couple weeks. God turned me over to my own heart's lust and said, there you go, big boy. Go ahead and have that. Go ahead and ride on that little strange God for a while and see how that gets you. You know, when we finally wake up and go, oh my gosh, what did I do to myself? What did I do to myself and my family? What have I done? What else can I do but go in the room and get on my knees and just beg God, please forgive me. I messed up. I've been so blinded by my own heart's lust. Do you understand? That's a strange God to Him. He does not like that strange thing in your life. Especially when it's before Him. I love my family. Anybody knows my Sunday school, they know. I tell them all the time. I mean, I love my family. But I make a mistake when I put them first. I love my family when I don't have God first in my life. They feel the wrath. I'm not talking about the wrath. I mean, they see the mistakes that I make. I mean, they see my family suffers. My prayer life suffers. My studying suffers. I mean, all that stuff just goes away. It becomes misery. A misery. And I don't like to be in that misery. Listen, you can have the strange guys, man. You can have all that junk. Go ahead and have fun with it. I'm going to run the other way as fast as I can. I've lived too long for this world. Just by the way, this world is the devil's. Okay? This world belongs to the devil. So when you're acting like the world and living like the world, you belong to your father. Just saying. We'll never be perfect. You know, but we can live a little different. How's anybody ever supposed to see the love of Jesus in us when we act just like the whole rest of the world? You talk like Him and everything else. How is anybody supposed to see that? They can't. They never will. I'm not perfect. I never will be perfect. Oh, I'm until I get to heaven. But here on earth, I never will be. But what's stopping me from striving? What's stopping me from setting a level up to where I want to set myself to be? Where is it? If I put a level up where some thing that I want to try to attain while I'm here on earth, what's wrong with me doing that? That's a good thing. You know, as long as it matches up with according to the word, I'm taking care of my family, why can't I set a high standard for myself? I've never had a high standard for myself. You understand? I always lived at the lowest standard you could in the world. I mean, low. Look, I mean, I didn't have a standard in my life. There wasn't a standard in my life. Never. Well, God showed me clearly. What do you need to do, Dale? Well, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to turn to a lot of verses. You can either do it or don't do it. So we're going to go to Matthew 6, 33 and 34. And God showed me clearly. Listen, you left your place. You put strange gods before me. I've turned you over to your heart's lust. I'm going to show you how to get out of this. Let me show you a little way to get out of this. This all comes from the Word of God. And I'm going to show you how He says to get out of this. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. You see, no matter where you look, I got a whole list here that I'm going to show you. God always needs to come first in your life. No matter what it is, when you have a decision to make in your life, and you might think, oh, that's just a small decision. You know, you're better off to include God in that. You're better off to any decision you're going to make for your family or anything. You're better off just to get God involved. It's not going to hurt nothing. And I mean, you know, God likes when we get Him involved in things instead of us trying to do things on our own. Because I know, for me, I can ruin them pretty quickly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I was not seeking first the kingdom of God at all. Matter of fact, I wasn't seeking. I mean, barely. I get up and still did my Bible readings and all that, but that's what it was—a Bible reading, nothing else. Nothing else. I'm going to tell you, when I got saved, for the first 6 to 8 months of my life after salvation, I mean, God let me enjoy my salvation. I mean, it was just a joyous time. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. And then it was time for me to start learning things. But you know what? I had that closest with God for those 6 to 8 months. I'm still close to Him, but not like I was then, okay? And when you get that separation from God afterwards, what a miserable life. I'd rather have death than be separated from God like I have been in the last few weeks. I mean, it hammered me. I'm sorry, but I'm a saved person here, and that bothers me when I get separated from the one who saved me. When I'm sitting there and I'm so far away from Him, He never left me, I left Him. I'm not talking about I lost my salvation, I need to get re-saved. I don't believe in that garbage. I got saved once, that's it, it's over with. But I tell you, you can turn your back on God just as well. I mean, I wasn't out drinking and smoking and partying. I wasn't doing all that stuff. But spiritually, my walk, my family, I mean, just all the really important stuff. My mind, my thoughts, my heart, all that stuff started becoming corrupted. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. God told me, if you seek, He says, listen, you seek me, Dale. And I'll get you. I'll take care of the rest. You know, He's never let me down in that. I mean, it's so crazy sometimes that me and my wife, but He's taught us a lesson, and I'm not bragging on this. He's taught us a lesson with tithing. She'll ask me, babe, we have no money. Should we still tithe the same? Yes. He's never let us down. Man. It's come pretty close, but He's never let us down. This is, you know, we've been faithful there. Am I lying? Honestly. Be honest. Am I lying? I'm not. Scary? Scary, scary. Two things happen. One, He teaches you how to trust Him. Two, He teaches you not to trust your money. He's going to take care of it anyway. Do you know, regardless if I tithe or not, bad or good things are going to happen? God, listen, God doesn't, like Pastor always says, nothing just takes God by surprise. He already knows it. If He already knows it and is going to take care of it, good or bad, He might as well just do it. He gets happier that way. He'll take care of it. Okay. How do we get into doing that? Let's go to Romans. Romans 12. So we got to seek God. I mean, you got to get the gods out of your life. You got to get your heart right. You know, I mean, you got the wandering's got to stop. Listen, when God calls you out of somewhere, stay put, man. Just stay put where He, you know, that bird left that nest, that was her comfort. She didn't know it. That was where she, you know, could just lay her head and be happy and feel safe. You go ahead and wander away from that, and that's what happens to you. That's what God's trying to tell you. You get away from that, you're going to get caught up in some stuff you don't want to. So we got to seek God, for we see we have to seek God first. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. You need to see that immediately. Right there, I mean, I'm just going to stop right there. God is not asking you to do something that He expects you to do on your own. Says by the mercies of God. He just lets you know that right off the bat. Well, what do I need your mercy for, Lord? That you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. By His mercy, you're going to be able to do that. By His strength and grace, you're going to be able to present yourself as a living sacrifice. You need to seek Him and then go ahead and say, God, go ahead, whatever you want with my life, you go ahead and do that. Because that's what He wants out of your life. He doesn't want you controlling it anymore. That's why He saved you. He saved you out of that stuff. He didn't save you to leave you in it. We need to make our bodies a living sacrifice. I need to make mine a little more of a sacrifice, but hey. Seek God. Make your bodies a living sacrifice. By His mercy, He'll help you do it. Number two, and be not conformed to this world. Well, what's the world? The world is the devil's. Why would you want to conform to the... Listen, when you get saved, the world is supposed to move farther out of your vision, and heaven is supposed to move closer. It's not the opposite way. You move farther away from heaven and closer to the world. I'm sorry, it just doesn't make sense to me, I know. I've only been saved for 2 years, just over 2 years. But I'm just telling you, now as a saved person, I can't see people getting saved and staying in the world, man. I don't know how people say they're saved and not change a thing in their life. It just confuses me because that means, I start to wonder, gosh, really? How come I got saved and things change and people want to sit back and do nothing with their life? It confuses me. And you read the book, you read the Bible, and you say you believe the Bible, you believe the Word, you believe what it says. Let me say something. Let me just make it clear what the Bible says. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things have become new. All things have become new. Show me that. It's not a hurt. I mean, listen. You just submit to God, become that sacrifice, and it's a really easy thing. When you're a stubborn blockhead like me, it's not so easy. But now that I sit back and just look what God has delivered me from, I'm amazed. I stand amazed on a daily basis, I kid you not, for what God has done in my life. Because it's something that Dale Borey could have never done or accomplished ever without God. Ever. I'm telling you, ever. Ever. You can ask the people who knew me and grew up around me. I just wasn't changing for anybody or anything. How all of a sudden did it happen? What, because I became 42 years old? All of a sudden I just felt like I'm going to change? Oh yeah, this is where I want to come to be a cool person, be a Christian, and sit in a church. Yeah, this is what I want to look like, wearing a suit, you know, a tie and all that. Yeah, this is what I want to be accepted by people. Not a chance. That's that new heart. That's that new thing. That new life. That Jesus living in me. That makes me who I am today. That sacrifice. Am I perfect at it? No. I just told you I fell on my face for the last couple weeks. But I don't stay down there. I get back up. A righteous man falls 7 times but gets back up. I get back up. I get back up. I get back up. I don't stay there. Why? I've been beat up my whole life. Physically, spiritually, mentally, I've been absolutely beat up my whole life. I was telling my wife some stories about my life when me and my brother got kidnapped in Vermont. Just how torturous it was. We've been beat up like that our whole life. Why do I want to stay in that junk? I would have been in there if Jesus didn't come in my heart. How bad was I getting before I got saved, Amy? Tell them. I'm not afraid to tell anybody in this room what I was becoming. It was a horrible, miserable life for me, my wife, and my son. Thank God Autumn doesn't remember, because, I mean, he knows there was something wrong. He may not remember it, but she'll never remember. She's, I think, a year old. Thank God he saved her from that. You know, I've spared her from that. I told him today, I said, you know, I'm not correcting you guys because I hate you. I correct you guys, man, because I love you. I want to see the best for you. I don't know what it's like to be out there, man. You don't have a clue what it's going to be like not to have a mommy and daddy out there. You don't know what it's going to be like not to have to eat or get beat or anything else. You don't know that. Why? Because daddy got saved. It's a new life now. There's a new person living in me. And I wanted to turn my back on that, people. I wanted to turn my back on that. How's that? I wanted to wander away like everything. Something was just going to get that much better for me. Yeah, go ahead, tough guy. Listen, people look at him. He looks like a big, tough guy. Under the mighty hand of God, I'm a weakling. I'm going to tell you that right now. There's nothing I can do to stand up in front of that man. Nothing I can do to stand up in front of him. Nothing at all that I can ever do to stand up to God. Nothing. He could just think something about me and it's done. It's over with. That's not why I'm saved. I was reading Mark the other day. I just closed my eyes. It was just getting to me, man, what he was going through. And Peter, I'll never leave you. I don't care. I'll die with you. It doesn't matter to me. And I just sat there and I became Peter. I had my eyes closed up. I just imagined that's me sitting there. And I'm looking at Jesus' face as he's looking over at me and I'm about to deny him. He's all, you know, he's getting bloodied up. He's sweaty, you know, dirty. And he's just looking at me, not saying a word. Why he's created, why the ones that he created has turned their back on him. I mean, it tore my heart out. Because I kept reading and reading, and the more I read, the more I'd see myself, and the more I'd just seen Jesus with his mouth closed, getting tore up, I mean bleeding, getting kicked out, spit on, I mean everything that could happen to him, and he just sat there looking at me saying, "Are you still going to deny me like you did the rest of your whole life? Are you still going to deny me?" And he didn't have to say a word to me. Just looked at me with his eyes. Just looked at me with his eyes. And I'm seeing this in my head. I'm acid and tripping, but I'm just saying, I got something with the Lord the other day, man. And I just envisioned myself standing there by my Savior. And you wonder why I want to do things for Him. Now a person in this room would do that for me. I don't care how much you say you love me. You're not going to stand there and keep your mouth closed while somebody's ripping the beard out of your face for me. I asked my Sunday school class. I said, "Which one of you are willing to die for me right now?" None. You see, Jesus did that for me. And my whole life, you know what I did for Him? I turned my back on Him. Not anymore, people. I love my family. They know I love them. But if it cost me my family, I would not turn my back on Jesus. Okay? I love my friends. I love the people in this church. But if it cost me to lose all that to follow Jesus, I really would. That's my heart. That's my heart. That's where I'm at. You guys don't have to be that way. I don't ask anybody to live your life. Do I ever go over anybody's house and ever tell you how to live your life? Never. I don't. You live the way you want to live. But Jesus has given me a new heart and a new song in my heart. He's given me a new life, new thoughts, things are becoming new. And you know what? It's pretty, when I submit myself to God and stop being a knucklehead, it's a pretty good life. It's a pretty good life. I mean, it's a good life. If you're married, gosh, I got about 5 minutes. 5 minutes. First Peter. Excuse me. So we got to seek God first, make our bodies a living sacrifice to Him. And if you're married, 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as a weaker vessel, as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Husbands, I'm telling you right now, if you're a saved man and you're in this room and you're treating your wife wrong, not going to be good for you. First of all, you might as well not even pray because your prayers are definitely hindered. But let me just read that again. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. You got to have knowledge to be able to live with your wife. There's a certain way they need to be treated. The Bible calls them a weaker vessel. We're all tough guys in this room, us men. And we want to treat our wives like that? Babe, she knows. Sometimes I look at her just now before I said, "Babe, is there anything between me and you? Is there something I need to know that I need to get right now?" I said, "Because otherwise I'm not going to get up here. I'm not going to get up here if there's something between me and you. I need to get that right now." Man, don't listen. Just real quick, I pay a horrible price when I treat my wife the way the Lord would not have me treat her. A horrible price. If you're treating your wife like just some street walker, and you say you're saved, you better check that salvation, because God's not going to let you do it without being punished. I'm telling you that right now. My wife don't let me. Oh, excuse me. God does not let me get away with that with my wife. Maybe she's just special to Him or something, but He don't let me get away with that to my wife. I'm just telling you. Giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. And then it goes on. I got to finish up right now. It goes on in Proverbs 19, 18 and Proverbs 27. Taking care of your children. Taking care of your children. How's that? You need to raise them in the way of the Word. You need to raise them in church. You need to raise them in the right way. You know what? We got a big struggle going on in our family. Why? Because our kids go to a secular school and we're raising them as Christian. Not a bad thing. I like the challenge. Why? Because I want my kids to see the real world, and I also want them to see the Christian life, and I want them to see what she's going to be in a better life. So far, this may not be in a couple of years, but so far they see the Christian life is better. They come home and they'll actually tell us that. Okay? That's a challenge. But more and more these days, as Christians get saved, I got saved from the sewer, guys. I didn't get saved from being a good person. I got saved from being a wretched person. More and more people like me are going to get saved. Guess what? Their kids are going to be in secular schools. We're going to have to learn how to train them children up in the way to live in the world, but be separate as a Christian. That's very important. The Bible also says that the way I live my life, by my integrity, my children will be blessed because of it. A good name. A good name. You know we don't have a good name. We're making a good name. The Maury name is going to be a good name. People are going to think of the Maury name. They're not going to think of bad anymore. They're going to think of a good name. That's what a father does. Other people. Psalm 82, 3-5. Matthew 22, 37-40. If you guys need to see this afterwards, other people. Other people need to come. Other people need to be taken care of. You can't just take care of yourself. Okay? I'm done right now. Remember, God, family, people, yourself. God, your family, people, and yourself. Don't wander away from where God has set you. Don't wander from where God has set you. Stay in that place where He put you in that place for a reason. Chris, you're in that place for a reason, brother. Dan, Bob, we're all in this place for a reason. There's a reason. Don't run from it. I'm just telling you now, I'm begging you, as a brother, man, don't go. Don't wander from that nest. And I'm not talking about just leaving your wife or your kids. I'm saying, just stay where you're at. Hold that course, man, and fight for it. Fight for it because nobody else is going to. Nobody else is going to fight for our children. Nobody else is going to fight for our wives. Nobody else is going to fight for our church, our pastor. Who would sit here and fight for your pastor? I know I would. If God ever called me to stand up for my pastor, I'm going to do it. Why? Because He saved me? No, He didn't save me. But you know what? He worked with me. He planted that seed. It got watered. And God gave the increase. And you know what? This is the work of God standing here, not man. But we don't. You know what? If we can't stay in this course, if we can't stay in that nest that God has called us men to be, and ladies, you single ladies, I don't never leave you out. You got a course to set too. Debbie, you got a course to set too. And you hold that course and fight for that. Don't give up on that. God will bless you for it. Don't wander. Don't wander. I'm just letting you know. I'm warning you right now. Don't wander.